righty, welcome to another edition, folks, of Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. As always, the number for you to call here is 201-939-4513. Almost forgot it there. Twitter, on Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. I am Russ Salzberg, joined today by my buddy Jeff Fiegels. And
hi, Russ. You're looking pretty good today.
Thanks, pal.
You got the purple on.
Yeah, you know, got to do a little
very festive.
A little of my Channel 5 interviews later in the locker room. But I can tell you this. I'm not going to be interviewing Landon Collins and Eli Apple side by side. I mean, it's no secret. If you're a Giants fan, you certainly heard already. Listen, we know there's been problems with Eli all season long. How many years did you play in this league? 22?
22.
You never like to see this under any circumstance.
Or you see this on losing teams.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You don't see this on teams that are 12-2 or 12-3 or whatever, because you don't have those problems.
Yeah.
Because when you're 12-2 or 12-3 and you're a playoff team, you're not fighting amongst each other. And the only time, like for instance, last week, Russ, I don't know if you saw, there was a little scuffle with the Jaguars, game.
Right.
When Seattle was kind of beaten, I think it was two weeks ago, whatever it was. But those types of spats are that's competitiveness. That's in-game stuff. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. Don't tell me this. It's a battle kind of thing. These are things that start, they manifest themselves into what they have become. And when you this team, it has a lack of leadership. You know that. You have Landon Collins, who by all means can be a leader in the locker room. I think he's trying to be.
And I believe he is one of the young leaders.
Yes. And he has the resume to be that leader, okay? An all-pro, two-time, whatever you want to call it. But I think that this is what happens on losing football teams. There's things that happen within the locker room. You have a coach that didn't police it as well as he should have. He's gone now, and now the locker room is just sitting there on cruise control until the end of the season. This is what happens.
Well, and you just said, so Ben McAdoo is gone. Jerry Reese is gone. You have Steve Spagnuolo. Here he is for four games, inheriting this, doing the best he can, trying to make chicken salad out of you-know-what. And it's just it's a mess. And obviously, he inherited this situation because Eli wasn't playing before. He was not playing now. It's an ugly situation.
And you know what, though, Russ? He had to know a lot of this was going on because this is on the defensive side of the ball.
Yes.
So, and there are a lot of untold things, stories, and things that happen within the locker room, within meetings that don't get out. Okay? And then something like this, in my opinion, being in the NFL as long as I was and knowing how locker rooms operate, is that there are certain things that have to stay within the locker room.
Yeah, 100%.
And no matter what, no matter if you're 0-15 or you're 15-0, things have to stay within, okay? And then you got to watch what you say, because you're talking about a player on your team, and you're talking about an organization that has that player on the team that has been dealing with some issues. Now, we all know that Eli Apple has had some issues off the field. His family life, things like that, have carried over into football, which is to be understood because things happen like that.
And just to interject for a second, Landon Collins, some weeks back, said that's the case. We have to stick behind him. He's got a lot of things going on with his life now. So to me, it just seems it just percolated over. And for Landon to pop off like that, to use the phrase cancer, that's a serious condemnation of a teammate.
Well, I mean, it is, because, cancer means you need to get rid of it.
Right.
And cancer means you got to stomp it out. And it's just like,
cut it out, right.
Yeah, so I think that, years and years ago, you remember Tom Coughlin had mentioned the word cancer in the locker room. We got to get rid of the cancer in the locker room. And that was, when something is said like that, that's a serious issue. Where they go from here, I don't know. It is what it is. It's out there now, and they'll have to deal with it. Unfortunately, Spags is going to have to address it because it's going to be asked in all the press conference if he hasn't already. But I think that it's something that, maybe both those guys need to be called into the principal's office and have a little sit down and see what's going on. But it is a little bit – it's you don't like to see it. But listen, it happened. you move on.
Yeah.
We got a show. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about.
My gut feeling is, well, first of all, you know, Landon's done with the,
the forearm.
Broken forearm. So that takes care of that situation. And Eli, I do not know. Nobody has told me. I've surmised. I think a lot of people have surmised over the past 4 weeks, you know, Eli hasn't been playing. I mean, the only thing you saw last week was on special teams. I have a feeling, and again, this is just my gut feeling. I got a feeling the coaches just kind of like threw their hands up and let's get done with this Eli situation at the end of the season and we'll deal with it. It couldn't wait to the end of the season, at least in the eyes of Landon Collins. Let me ask you this, from a guy who's been in this league, though, from a Giant perspective, okay, from a Giants business perspective, nothing else, from the business perspective, Jeff, does this kind of thing hurt them in terms of, okay, if we wanted to move Eli Apple, I mean, he was a first-round pick a year ago, 10th overall. Does this hurt them in terms of moving him and getting something in return?
I think yes and no. I think one, yes, you're going to have the team that, remember this, he's a young player. He's only a two-year guy, right?
He's 22 years old.
So he's very freshly out of college. There's a lot of grades on him. There's a lot of personnel departments around the league that have grades on him when he was coming out of college. There are going to be some teams that said, we really like this guy. And if you want to trade for him or you're going to cut him, we're interested. There's also some teams out there that say, I don't even know why the Giants drafted this guy because we had him a second, third round, or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So those are the guys they're going to look at this and they're going to laugh and they're going to say, well, we had him. This is kind of what we had him pegged at. So I think it just depends. You can't speculate on anything until you get a new coach and a new GM in here, and they are going to evaluate the roster, and they're going to look at number 24, and they're going to sit down and they're going to say, what happened here? All I know is this. No matter what position you play on the team and what team you're on, you have to earn the jersey on Sunday and you have to earn the right to play. If you're not doing the right things on and off the field, you don't get a jersey on Sunday. Or if you get a jersey on Sunday, and the reason that Eli Apple has a jersey on Sunday, have you looked at the roster? You don't know who anybody is.
Well,
so he has to play.
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy thing. I mean, you look at the roster and the injury list, and it's just getting worse and worse. Let me just ask you this, and I'm not looking at it from a Pollyanna perspective because I don't see how it can be fixed. Do you think there is any way, shape, or form that this situation can be straightened out and he could remain a Giant?
Well, I think that's the first initiative. You want to keep your guys here. I mean, he's a first-round draft pick by an organization that invests a lot in their picks. So I think that when you look as a new – say that I'm the new GM, okay? I got to take a collective look at everything that's gone on, not just because of one player says it, even though it's very powerful, but I still have to look at and go in and do some investigating, talk to some people, talk to some of the trainers, talk to some of the staff that's around here, aside from the coaches and this and that, and understand the situation. And then have an evaluation on my part as the GM and the new coaches that can we fix it? Is there something, is this something that we can get in there and have a conversation with Eli and say, listen, we understand what you did last year. We understand that you had it off the field. Your mother was sick. You had a divorce in the family, all whatever it is, okay? And I don't mean to talk about Eli's family like that.
We're not doing it. It's part of the story.
It's part of the evaluation that's going to be happening with every player. This one just has a little more hair on it. And so they're going to have to evaluate it and talk about it, and then that decision will be made. So I don't think from a standpoint of you asking me, I think that anything can be fixed as long as the attitude is correct with the player and the organization and that there's standards. I feel like I'm talking to my kids. If you can do this, then you can stay on this team, and we think you can, and we have confidence in you. But understand that if all of a sudden it starts to go down that dark road again, we're not going to put up with it, okay? Yeah. We're not going to do it. We don't want the distractions. Now, with Landon, you know, anything – these guys can – I can say I don't like you today, and then 2 weeks later we're hanging out together. This is the way things happen, you know? It's a team, and you want to try to keep people together.
No, there are fights within families without question.
But we have to look at the way that this group all played together last year.
Well, that's exactly what I was just going to ask you that. Look at the way the group played last year, And look at what's happened with the secondary this year. Listen, DRC got suspended. Janoris Jenkins got suspended. You have this
Eli Apple got suspended.
Eli Apple, and you have this situation now. Now, there is a difference, though. And the difference is when a guy like DRC got suspended back in October, he got suspended for one game. That's the mark of, to me, a real leader and a veteran, because he got suspended. He came back with a tremendous attitude, and he's been probably, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm in there every day, he has been the biggest leader or as much of a leader as anybody since his return. So it's also how you deal with stuff.
Well, and that's maturity.
Oh, well, one's a second-year player. The other guy's is in the DRC's.
I mean, he admitted
his season.
He admitted he was wrong. He admitted you know what happened, and he moved on from it. Okay, a lot of times these things stick in guys' heads, and they can't get it out of their heads, and they just continue to fester and fester and fester. And you know, it seems to me like this whole situation with Eli has been week after week after week, and then, you know, getting called out in the team meeting, you know, doing this or that. It's just it continues, and so it never. He has to sooner or later accept some responsibility for his behavior and the way he's acting, or he's not going to be around. But I mean, the Giants, listen, they got a first round pick invested in him. He's a young player. He's very young as far as his age, and there's a tremendous upside to him. But you know, it's like a lot of players. They may be the most talented in the room, but you know, they have a lot of baggage with them. You can't afford to have that.
Right.
So it's going to be up to Eli Apple to change some things, and hopefully that they can reconcile what's going on here and he can get back to playing football, because that's what he is. He's a football player. He's a good football player. But I think there's a lot of distractions around him that need to be eliminated. And listen, this season couldn't come to an end quick enough. Sunday is it. And then, you know, then you wipe the slate clean and you move on, and then the evaluating and all the other stuff happens.
Well, it's going to look like a punt, pass, and kick team this week. But first of all, you know, Goodson's placed on
the 23rd of the year.
Shepard, just the injury report for today. Shepard's got a neck, JPP the finger, TK still on the concussion protocol, Lewis an ankle, Ingram ribs. He's probably not going to play. I'm telling you, have you ever played wide receiver before?
I'm not gonna.
Oh,
I know that.
No, you know, it's past your time.
I think that on Sunday when they put out the flip cards for the game, this will be one you want to keep. Because this, I mean, you really, if you're going to look at the names on that flip card, you're not going to recognize anybody.
I think Carl Banks, giving him credit, calls us the flip card kids or something. But really, that's what
that's
it is.
That's about what it is.
It's hard to figure out. Anyway, folks, phone lines are open. 201-939-4513 is the number. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. We'll open up the lines today with in Connecticut with Marco. Marco, you're on with Russ and Jeff. How you doing today?
Hi, Marco.
Hey, guys. How are you? Happy holidays.
You too.
Same to you, Marco.
You
I'm so frustrated with this. This season fell apart a long time ago, but it seems like we just keep getting hit after hit after hit, and it's so hard to break down. And you guys said it, but there's 1 week left, and I've never felt this way before about a team, where my hands are up and just saying, "Hey, I don't know what the plans are going into the off season, but whatever it is, do what you need to do." But I felt like there's been a disconnect all year between upper management and coaching, just in terms of communication and what's really going on here. The teams look bad all year. And like, you know, McAdoo looked bad with the media and the way he communicated about things going on. I tell you, I love Spags. He looks bad, too. I mean, I listen to Spags after the games, and they're talking about Eli Apple not playing, and he was active. And he's just kind of, you know, it's almost like a rhetorical thing, like, yeah, that's something we're going to have to look at going forward. Like, all right, let's hit the pause button right there. I know there's been stuff with Apple personally, and obviously in the locker room, clearly there's things going on. But this just can't be the message to people that we don't know what's going on ever. We don't, because here's what the fans want to know. that 5 weeks ago when McAdoo and Reese were gone, they want to know that we are in we are making progress now and we are getting better. Like not it's getting worse because of those.
Well, yeah, but Marco, you got to understand something. During a season, what were they, 2-9 when it happened? The record was 2-9. At 2-9 when it happens, listen, when you fire a coach and a general manager at that juncture in the season, you know, let's be honest with one another. What was getting better? I mean, the only thing that we got to see that was getting better, they had a good performance 2 games ago, albeit in a losing effort against the Eagles. Nothing was getting better. There's a reason their record is what it is.
Russ, I don't want to interrupt you, but it's not about the play on the field. I get that. It's about when you're saying, oh, yeah, Landon and Eli are grown men. They're professionals. I trust they're going to work it out. And then you have Landon Collins, who's a leader on the team. Landon, I don't care if you hate the guy. You cannot say that if you are a leader on the team. Because let's talk about what it really is. This guy's a top-10 pick. And new regime or not, you cannot lose a top-10 pick, a starting cornerback. You cannot lose that 2 years in. So I'm going to say that it does need to be repaired whatever way. And if it's not, then go out and get whatever value you can. But a leader on the team cannot go ahead and say that. It's like if Odell Beckham came on the radio and said something controversial about Sterling Shepard. It's detrimental. It's terrible.
Well, nobody, Marco, thanks for the call, buddy.
You are correct.
Nobody's disputing that with you. I mean, it's not good. And listen, Landon is – he is a young leader on the team without question. But when this comes out, it's not good for anybody. It's not good for the people involved, the parties involved. It's not good for the locker room. It's not good for the organization because it's fans like you who are going to be upset about it. Nobody wants to see that. It's part of the drama. It's part of the soap opera.
And I'll tell you, you can't give Landon Collins a pass on this one. You just can't. You have to, if you want to be a leader, you have to understand how to lead. And that's part of his leading with your mouth. There are some things that are sacred, and that's stuff that stays in the locker room. If you got a problem with Eli Apple and you think he's the cancer, then approach it with him and have a conversation. But you cannot go out and say these things in the public, especially around New York. It's going to get taken out of context, people, but it's real. It's out there, and you have to be smarter than that.
What's also crazy to me, Jeff, is the timing of it. It's not even with 2 or 3 or 4 games. You got one lousy game left. I mean,
but you know what though? I think that it was bound to happen.
Yeah, I guess.
But I mean, it's just you can only say so much to these guys, Russ, in the meetings, and you know, and you can only say so much. They have it's their own mouth. You know what I'm saying? It's like you can't tell them that they can't speak to the media. You just tell them when you do speak to the media, make sure that you do it in a way that represents the organization, represent yourself. These are all things that this is PR 101 that you know about.
Well, in fairness to all the players involved, they're encouraged to speak to the media. And also in fairness to Landon, he makes himself available all the time. He stands up at his locker room. He never shies away from anything. Now, and I will say this much too, quite frankly. I'm in that locker room, and I deal with both guys, and I've had a pleasure dealing with both guys. Their differences aside, because quite frankly, I see Eli at his locker pretty much all the time as well, answering questions. He's a little more, I don't know if the term sarcastic or well, whatever.
I think that's a good word.
Right? Yeah. A little more sarcastic. Yeah. But you're right. It just should not happen. Let me ask you this. In your 22 years as a player in this league, a distinguished career, do you ever remember a situation? I mean, there had to be some situations in locker rooms, Jeff, where people didn't get along and there was infighting.
Yes, there was. And I'll tell you that when it did happen, I can't tell you exactly this situation, but I will tell you that the teams that I was on, these were losing football teams, not winning.
Right.
And that's when it happens. That is the root of all evil here. And so everybody wants to get at everybody because and have an point the finger in the sense that the reason why we're not playing well is because of this guy. Well, then that's you, that's what happens when you're on losing football teams, and it can run rapid. I mean, it really can. To be honest with you, I'm a little bit surprised that this is the only thing that's happened, because when a team has the worst record in the history of the Giants organization, yeah, that for this to come out now, it surprises me that it even lasted this long.
When I heard it yesterday, I was at home. And somebody said there was a tease on TV, more problems in the Giants, somebody's a cancer. I said, huh? What? And then I see who it was about.
Okay.
And then I hear who said it. That whole thing knocked me over. I was very much taken back by that. But it is what it is, and we are here on Big Blue Kickoff talking to you about it. Russ Salzberg along with Jeff Eagles. The number, as always, is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to the nation's capital and speak with Steve. Steve, you're on with Russ and Jeff. How are you, my friend?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You know, I'm not well. You know, been a fan since 1976. Called the show regularly. You know, let me just say this. You know, as soon as Landon came out and said, oh, he had been talking to Eli Apple, I told a lot of people, you know, on the shade down, I was saying, I thought he was being disingenuous from the very get-go. I have all the love and respect for this kid's game, believe me. But I knew he was only following DRC's lead, because when DRC said, you know, basically told people that, yeah, I've been talking to him, with being the quiet leader that he really is and getting praise for it, here comes, you know, Landon, that his game should have been enough of a leader, but here he is trying to get some of the fame that DRC and the credit was, acting noble, and I emphasize acting, because I knew it was disingenuous to get with. He had the nerve to come out and say that.
Well, listen, Steve, just hang on one second. We'll let you continue. I'm going to disagree with you on one thing, and then you just hear me out a second.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, Landon, I was there at the locker when Landon was saying that, and Landon didn't just come out and say, okay, everybody, come up and here, come talk to me. I want to tell you about this. They asked Landon about that. So listen, I get you. You heard what Jeff said. You heard what I said. I get you. Jeff, Steve, I get your anger, but Landon wasn't doing that. To flag wave to get some.
I heard the question in context, with all due respect. You know, I did hear it in context. We just feel differently about it. And here's the thing. I just felt like, why are you kicking this kid when he's down? It doesn't matter. Like you said, I have my opinion, and I know Eli Apple has a lot to atone for. But for them to come out, you know, and kick him while he's down, and now here we are talking about his whole family business, it's shameful that it even comes to this. And I'm going to get to a much bigger, more important point, because, you know, I personally, you know, I'm not going to really go into it, but I never believed in McAdoo to begin with from day one.
But he's gone. You know, Steve.
No, but
Steve.
Let me just real quick. But let me just shift to what's more relevant, and that is Spags, because Spags is still here. And I know, Russ, you're a big advocate of his.
Yes, I am.
Talking about him. To me, it shouldn't even be a consideration, personally. But let me just tell you this. He has been overseeing this whole thing specifically for defense. Okay, this type of thing didn't happen under Tom Coughlin. Yeah, we had other issues. But let me tell you something. This is more about Spags than it is any of these players, okay? Yeah, it's about losing this, that, and the other. But I'm telling you, I'm more disappointed than Spags, than anybody. So at the end of the season, get him out of here. Unless we need to fix the Eli Apple thing. That's really all I had to say.
All right,
you know,
Steve.
I mean, Landon's play speaks for itself. So he, you know, but he came in overweight, so he should keep his mouth quiet, because he didn't come on to the end of the season, and we all know that.
Well,
he should be lucky he went to the Pro Bowl.
Well,
thank you for taking my call.
All right, Steve. you can say what you want, but don't tell me Landon.
I feel his frustration.
No, but don't tell me Landon was doing that for attention.
No, I'll tell you what.
That I don't buy.
He wasn't doing it for attention. He was doing it because he was frustrated. He was doing it because he, a lot of times, and I'm not telling you that he was set up by any means, but the fact is that, you know, you say something and pretty much you want to kind of maybe take it back, and I don't think this one could be taken.
Oh,
back.
No, no, I'm not talking about the cancer remark.
He was talking about the initial remark
where, you know, when DRC said we got to support him, and he said the same thing. You know, Steve was saying that was, you know, he's just riding on DRC's coattails. You know, that's not true.
No, that was all about being teammates.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's try to help him and, you know, whatever. And evidently it didn't work. But I think that, yeah, it's a messy situation. And, again, I keep going back to this. Is this what happens on teams that are just losing teams in a bad situation? It really is.
2-13 does it to you.
And listen, Spags can only do so much.
I'm sure – Spags is sitting there for these four games. I mean, he inherited this mess. Spags is sitting there for these four games talking to people, talking to his coaches. I mean, this is not him alone. And I'm sure he's talking to, interim GM Kevin Abrams, and I'm sure he's talking to the front office as well. I mean, they're not out on an island on this situation. But, listen, obviously, everybody's upset. Fans, media, players, everybody's upset. That's what 2-13 does. It sucks for all parties concerned. Let's go to Brooklyn now and speak with Joshua. Josh, you're on with Russ and Jeff. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Russ. Hey, Jeff. What's going on?
How are you?
It's great to actually get the chance to speak to you guys.
Thank you.
What's going on, Josh?
All right. So I guess I after a little bit actually listening to what you guys are saying, I'm apparently not going to be the only guy talking about Landon Collins today. So I'm just going to first and foremost put out this notion that it's very possible that each and every one of these guys on this New York Giants team have not ever been a part of a losing team like this.
That's a very, very good point. Excellent. It really is.
Imagine, like, we're talking about a bunch of guys who are so used to winning with them. Like, Landon Collins was, like, in Alabama, Eli Apple,
Ohio
State.
They're
all part of, like, these group of guys who are just so used to winning. And I guess if there's any ray, like, you know, any ounce of, you know, silver lining that I can put out there or I can consider – is the fact that these guys have hit rock bottom, or essentially, or something like that. And, you know, now I guess there's no other way they can go but, you know, up, and hopefully not left or right. So, you know, that being said, I was completely fuming when I heard Collins' comments on Apple. I just thought it was completely disappointing because, you know, he's supposed to be a leader of the football team or one of the leaders, and he calls a guy out like that. And it's not even so much even about Eli Apple as much as it is about, you know, when the next person or the next situation happens that is something like this, what are you going to do? Go on, take it to public radio, you know? Yeah. You're supposed to take it to the owners or whoever, you know, or...
Well, Josh, while you're there, no, stay with us, but because while you're on, I want to ask Jeff that question. Listen, Jeff, you went to Miami, right?
Academic institution.
Right. No, but you went to Miami, and you went to a big-time program. How much is it an adjustment for a lot of these guys when they come from major, major programs that are used to all the W's, and all of a sudden you're being, you know, devoured by L's, certainly this season. You know, Landon's is in his third season, and Eli's is in his second season. And they're all coming off of a good season with high, high expectations for this season.
Well, I think if you look at the season, Landon Collins' first season, they weren't that good. I don't think it makes that big of a difference.
Okay.
I think it's a conversation point, but I think that when you get to the National Football League, the difference is that you were on a college football team, now you're on a professional football team where you're getting paid to play, and the organization, they rely on guys that we're paying you to play football, and we paid a lot of money to do it, and we expect high expectations. We expect good things out of you. And when things turn, this Eli Apple thing, this is not just a two-week deal. This has been there all season. This has been a frustration from the get-go.
Right.
Okay, and so it came to a head, and then, you know, Landon just he slipped. He shouldn't say it what he did. He's got to keep in house. And like you had mentioned, you're more upset with what he had to say about this than the situation itself. So to answer your question, Russ, I don't think it really matters that much, other than the fact that when you're playing professional football collectively together as an organization, when your team is horrible, all these things happen to every team. It's not just if you've been on a 12-0 national championship game. Yeah, team, but you come to the NFL and you're not winning. Yeah, it does hurt because it does. Because when you put in as much time as professional football players do on a daily basis, day in and day out since August all the way until the end of December, it gets frustrating when you're just – especially going on the road to Arizona, nothing to play for, Christmas Eve night, and you go out there and you lay an egg like that. That's frustrating for guys that are wanting to win. Landon Collins is that guy. Landon Collins wants to win every single play, every single game. If you had 53 Landon Collins, you wouldn't be in this situation.
Well, no, listen.
I mean, the guy cried when he broke his arm.
And for the past 2 weeks, you know, ended games. I mean, we were surprised he was going to be playing on that ankle. We thought he'd be shut down. He wanted no part of it. So, listen, what else you got for us, Josh? You got another point you wanted to make? Josh?
I guess nothing much else other than, you know, the fact that I hope that – I really don't know what's going to happen to Eli Apple and the Giants. Chances are he's coming back, though. And so because he's a second-year player, and I know that he has a lot of his off-season, his off-the-field issues. I don't know what's going to happen. But I was worried. I was really fuming in part because I was worried about what happens next season. And I really hope that, you know, the off season is just like a breath of fresh air, and all of you guys get to, you know, recollect their thoughts and just come back fresh. But stuff like this, stuff like, you know, the calling out, you know, whatever, the cancer comments, that sticks.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Landon's going to have to answer those questions, and it's going to seem awfully weird if Eli Apple returns, and you know now you're going to have to deal with those comments day in and day out. So,
they're here today. So huh? They're here. I mean, they're both here.
Right.
I don't know if Landon's here because he's went on IR, but the fact is that you know he's most likely around, so they'll have to see what happens.
That's something I'm going to expect
them to play. All right, Josh. Thanks for the call, my friend. Happy New Year. Let's go to North Bergen and chat with Mike. Mike, you're on with Russ and Jeff.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy holidays.
Same to you, Mikey.
You too, Mike.
Obviously, I just want to comment on what's been trending with us right now, and that's the whole Landon Collins, Eli Apple situation. And my whole take on it is, you know, Eli Apple, he definitely needs a lot of growing up to do, and he needs to develop better to be that number one pick that he was meant to be. And, I mean, like a couple other people have been saying, you know, Landon Collins, he hasn't really had a great season this year. And I wouldn't really consider him a leader. I would consider Snacks more of a leader. And, you know, they're not really doing a great job. Nobody, the coaching, you know, the players, nobody's been doing a good job in stepping up and being a real true leader. And Kim Jones made a real good comment this morning. You know, she said the last time the Giants had a real good veteran leadership guy was Antrell Rowe, and I really do agree with her on that. And I think that's the type of player that the Giants need. They need somebody that's really going to get in their face and let them know, hey, you know, put on your working boots, put on your working pants, and let's get to work over here. Let's not clown around. And,
well, you know what, you Mike? Know? You bring up a point, and you just mentioned Snacks. And it's interesting that you bring that up because Snacks – I sat down with Snacks last week because we had him on our pregame show. He was our – you know, we do a player profile focus, and we did it with him last week. And one of the things that I asked him about was his leadership. You know, he was asked, when Spags took over, he was asked to be captain, and he did so. But he did so, and he calls himself not a leader. He doesn't see himself as a leader. And I told him I thought that that was ridiculous because I do see him as a leader. And he talked about that he's old school and he gets in somebody's face. And that's the way he does his business. Now, while I got you on, I'm looking at Jeff saying that that's the way to do it, is getting somebody's face within the confines of the locker room or the privacy. No matter if you're an Eli fan, you're a Landon fan, you're a Giants fan, doing your laundry in public never solves anything. It's just
Right. I agree with that. And also, like I said before, the play on the field, not just with Eli Apple, but also with Landon Collins, I mean, it's just been very poor a lot of times. And, you know, I just, a lot of it has to go on Spags. You know, I like the guy 2-0, and he, you know, maybe he could be a great coach, you know, in the near future. But, I mean, he hasn't really done a great job, guys, let's be honest.
Well,
and
he really
should have nipped this at the butt.
But, Mike, in fairness, listen, he inherited a mess here for the last four games. And buddy, I mean, you're talking about a guy who took over 2-9. The coach was fired. The GM was fired. It's a mess. At that juncture in the season, nothing's being saved. I mean, really, if you were going to get a W, a couple of Ws, that would have been great. But nothing would have been saved by the situation.
I kind of know where you're going here. The fact is that the 2-9 was part of Spagnuolo. I mean,
right.
That,
okay,
so
yeah.
That whole that landscape of the season, he's included in this mess. And I think that, you know, he has some faults there about why this team is 2-9. Their defense basically fell apart from what they did last year, aside from the offense too. So then now you start piling on with injuries and things like that. There is no coming back from that. But you're right. I think that every one of those players could have played much better this season. I think injuries had a big part in why the defense didn't play all that well. But sometimes you did scratch your head earlier in the season when the defense was healthy. They were 0-4, 0-5. Okay, so this was a problem, and I think that, you know, they needed to play better. And then as the season got away, and of course the last 4 weeks with Spagnuolo, being the head coach, you know, he's wearing a lot of hats right now. And he even said it in the postgame show the other day, is that he doesn't pay attention that much to the offense because he's still the defensive coordinator. So there's a lot of things that are happening on the field that he doesn't see and things like that, but this is a tough situation he's been put in. He's the interim head coach because he's been a head coach before. He wasn't made the head coach to turn this program around in 4 weeks. He was there just to be able to stop the leaking.
Would it be called the caretaker?
The caretaker, I guess. Yeah, just to take care of what the mess that's going on and try to keep the ship afloat, if you will. And it's been a tough situation for him.
And you know what, Mike? When you look at the offense, I mean, like – Jeff just says he hasn't spent as much time with the offense. Well, you don't know what your offense is going to be from day to day.
Well, we don't even know. I'm looking at the game the other day, and I haven't had a chance because I didn't get coming on Monday because it's Christmas time. But talking about the game, I'm watching that game the other night, and I'm sitting there thinking about all the Giants fans that are sitting here watching this on Christmas Eve.
It
was tough to watch.
It's awful.
And not only that, I mean, looking down at the roster and looking at some of the names that are on this roster right now, this team is a depleted, just a team that there are guys on this team right now on the roster that have no business being on a football team.
No.
They're receivers that cannot – come on. I am so tired of seeing drop passes. I mean, this is the National Football League. You get a paycheck every week.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Jeff, but I just want – you know, I'm listening to everything, and real quick, this just popped in my head. And I know you guys really can't comment too much on stuff like this, but just
we'll
if you can – what do you think about a guy like Bruce Arians? You think maybe he could put some discipline on these players?
Well, I think that any coach that's going to be asked to come in here, whether it's Bruce Arians or whoever, is going to have to come in and rule with an iron fist. This team has gotten away with too much. I think that the players need to understand, and this has kind of been the trend when you think about how coaches are hired. Usually a coach that replaces another coach, if it was a player's coach, you get a disciplinarian.
Well, that's – listen, okay, you went from Fossil to Coughlin.
There you go. Okay.
You know,
And I think that McAdoo was a little bit lax. I think he was more of a player's coach. He didn't, you know, he kind of let things get away and, you know, kind of.
He was a cupcake. He was a Mama Luke. Come on.
Russ is loving those terms right there.
Okay.
But I think that to answer your question, I think Bruce Arians is a guy that doesn't put up with much. And I think he's a very good coach. I think that Bruce Arians is probably, just speculating that he's going to walk away from the game because he's, you know, his health and just things like that. So, but, you know, from a head coaching position, if he was a guy that was 10 years younger,
yeah,
I think he would be a perfect fit for a team that needs somebody to come in there and give him a kick in the butt.
After Mike and Mama Luke, will go to Joe in Pennsylvania, okay? Joe, you're on with Russ and Jeff. How are you?
Hey, wonderful. Happy New Year's coming up here.
Hi, Joe. Yeah,
Same to you, Joe.
I just want to get off of it. Like, you use our correct, no matter what, you don't hang out dirty laundry out there, and it ain't going to solve nothing there.
Nothing.
So,
does nothing.
Right. And I hate to say it there. I don't think I'd be surprised now. I think Mr. Mara is going to go out with this stuff happening and Spags in there. Definitely, I think he's going to go out and get a different general manager and Giants or coach there too, I believe, there now. Now they can talk to the general manager and the coaches that are not in the playoffs after this weekend, correct?
Yes.
Right. So, and the ones on bye weeks, they could, that have the bye weeks, or not the bye weeks, but that aren't playing, they could talk to them too that have the, you know what I mean, that have the buys that are not playing. They could talk to them, too, like the Eagles or something like that, or the Vikings, correct?
Yeah, the teams that aren't playing this week.
Yeah, so. Well,
or the next week.
Maybe something would happen there. That's what I says. I don't know what he has in mind, but, it's still spinning, you know, here with that. And I don't know if there's any way. I think it would be good to bring up to get our young quarterback in there. Just let him see what it feels like getting in there. Maybe give him some extra to work on. You know.
Joe, I don't think that's not happening unless there's a complete back. Unless
me, I would just to let him see what it's like. You get on a merry-go-round or drive a car. You know what I mean. You can practice all you want, but you know what I mean. And you know, I mean, win or lose, to me, it's. You know, I would love to see it, but you know what I mean? Things just keep getting worse. So I guess he's about the only guy we didn't get in there to get a taste of it. So,
Hey, Joe, I want to answer your question here. I just looked it up. It said assistant coaches that are not in the playoffs can interview from other teams who are not. They must, however, request permission if a coach is under contract with another team. So the Giants could go interview another assistant coach while the playoffs are going on if that team is not in the playoffs, but they have to request permission to do it. Okay, and then assistant coaches with first-round buys in the playoffs. Teams are also allowed to interview assistant coaches who have a first-round buy in the playoffs. However, the interview must take place that week of that playoff game, and then the candidates can choose to decline the interview to focus on preparing for their current team in the postseason. So that's kind of where, you know, you could have some of these interviews go on.
Yeah, well, that's what we need, and it can work out without Bill and Collins. You don't have to like one another, but you do it for the best of the team. You can, you know, you talk to these guys, and you know you got to play together. Husbands and wives divorce, and they do the best they can for the kids. You know what I mean? So it can work out this way too. But you know, like I said, Collins, you don't hang out dirty laundry, and if Apple has issues, you know what I mean. They both got to be on notice and warning regardless, you know. So, hey, thank you. Take care. God
bless.
Happy
New Year, Joe.
Happy New Year, Joe.
Go Giants. Hopefully next year it'll be a complete turnaround.
Well, it's going to be a complete turnaround.
Yeah, one way or the other. I mean, at 2-13.
There's not much optimism from that point, but there is a lot of optimism knowing that the Giants are going to have a new GM, a new coach. There's going to be a whole new
revitalization.
Yeah, you got the draft coming up. You got a lot of boxes to check here in the next couple months, so hang in there, Joe.
201-939-4513 is the number. Phone lines remain open. On Twitter, it is hashtag GiantsChat. You were talking about, we really didn't. You know, I mean, it is Wednesday already, and, you know, yesterday David Deal and myself were talking about the game. And I brought up a point, and right away Dave went, You can feel the air go out. And I said, you never want to put, I don't want to put something, you know, a missed field goal for the reason why they lose 23-0. But with the score 3-0,
yeah,
and Aldrick Rosas lines up for a chip shot field goal, and through the TV, you could feel that giant team, including Spags and everybody, just everything came out.
Uh-oh. Now what do we do? No, in a game like that, any time that you give momentum to another team, it's horrible. And that was a chance to get back to even the score, pick up a little momentum. The defense could maybe go out and get a stop, and the offense could do something. But that was like the first chip. You know, it's like, okay, we missed a field goal. You know, we got a chance to score here, but nothing happens. And then all of a sudden, you got the offense is getting production on first and second downs, and you're into these third and fourth downs, and you can't make 2 or 3 yards. No momentum plays. Then Eli throws an interception, another interception, a fumble. Fumble for a touchdown. It's just it just keeps getting worse and worse. And the cardinal rule on the road, Russ, no matter what coach you are, and I remember Tom Coughlin used to say it all the time, you cannot turn the ball over on the road. Okay? It's extremely difficult to win on the road when you turn the football over. Okay? Because what do you say at home? You want to get turnovers at home because you have a home field advantage,
right.
And you get that momentum and you get the crowd in it. When you turn the ball over on the road, look what happened. All that stuff happens that I just talked about for the opposing team, and you just can't get back into it. And Aldrick Rose, that kick right there, that's an extra point.
Let me ask you this, because obviously you were a special team giant, no pun intended, but you were. I mean, you don't last in the NFL 22 years because you're not good at what you do. Granted, you were a punter, not a field goal kicker. But you know the mindset of kickers.
That's what it is.
Is that's what it is?
It's not physical tools. Aldrick has got one of the strongest legs I've ever seen. I've been a proponent for him ever since they signed him. I thought that this kid was going to be, and I still think that he can get it together if he gets the chance.
That's the next question. Do you give him the chance?
I think that in a year like this, I will tell you, if this team was competing, Aldrick would not be here. They would have gone in another direction. But because of the way that the season has gone, they're giving him the benefit of the doubt to get some game experience, and hopefully that can help him moving forward. A lot of times what happens with young kickers, the teams quit on them too early. Okay, then they go to another team. You look at a lot of these guys that have made it in the NFL, they got cut 2 or 3 times. And then finally, when they get to a team, they figure it out. You know, so sometimes you can't be afforded that luxury to have a guy trying to figure it out, missing field goals all over the place. But my point here, Russ, is that, you know, if you get him through the regular season, which you did, he got 20-something attempts. He's missed 7 of them. Go in and bring in another kicker next year to compete and let the best man win for next year.
Well, okay, so let's also, you know, move over one slot to the punter, Brad Wing. Now, both you and I were very high on Brad Wing. He did not have the year this year that he had last year. What is it with him? Is it also mindset? Because we spoke of him, you and I, as a real weapon on this team.
Well,
and he hasn't been a weapon.
It is a mindset, and I will tell you that earlier in the season, there's not a lot of times from the punting perspective that when you have bad plays that it costs you games. Brad had 2 kicks that cost Giants 2 losses. That can weigh very heavily on somebody's mind going through the whole season. And it is a mind game, and it is trying to get that out of your mind now that, you know, you're in a situation where you don't want to have another one of those kicks because there's a lot of things going on. Number one, you're thinking about it. Number two, you're thinking that I've already had 2 kicks like this that cost my team a game. What if I have a third one? I'm probably not going to have a job. You know, all this stuff goes into a young man's mindset. You can't let that stuff come into your mind, and that's just a part of being experienced and having experience in the league and you know, years of experience. He's still young, and I think that a lot of times that's what happens with young guys is they can't get it out of their head, and they try too hard. And rather than just taking a step back and saying, just go out and do what I got to do, put everything in the past. And that's the hardest thing to do, Russ, is to forget about everything. Because a lot of times you bring that baggage with you in a game. And then if you have kind of not a great punt in the game, it rears its ugly head again. All of a sudden you start thinking about things. So my point here with both field goal kicker and the punter, young guys particularly, it's not in their leg. It's between their ears. And that is a very difficult thing to master, is the mental parts of the game. I'm working, you know, with my son now, with Zach, who's at Miami, young freshman punter. Guy went from Ridgewood High School in front of 500 people to 80,000 people. Think about the mind games that that's playing with you, and it's something you have to learn and acquire. I will tell you that in my sixth year in the National Football League, I was ready to quit because I had games that they were so pressured. There was so much pressure on me. I had a coach that was wanting me to kick the ball out of bounds every single time, and we just – finally came to a head one day, the special teams coach and I. I closed the door. I walked into him, and I said, listen, I can't take this anymore. I can't have you yelling and screaming at me on the sideline after, I have a kick that's not doesn't go exactly the way you want it to go. And if we're not going to be able to work this thing out, there's no way I'm going to continue to play. And he basically took a step back and said, you know what? You're absolutely 100% correct. Now, I'm your coach. I'm going to get on your ass, whatever, okay?
Yeah.
But the fact is that I'll take a step back. Pro Bowl, that year.
That was your sixth season?
Yeah, I went to the Pro Bowl that season. Now, it was early in the season when I told them, listen, you got to get off my back and just let me do what I can do. So it's mental. It's all mental. Enough of the punting and kicking stuff, but – you know, a lot of this, even with, well, aside from punting and kicking, Russ, it is mental with these other guys, how they play. And what happens is when you have bad plays and they keep reoccurring in your mind, you just continue to make bad plays. And it's very difficult to let those plays go and just go get the next play. Especially like you look at a cornerback who gets beat for a touchdown, or a cornerback that has a pass interference call that costs his team 45, 50 yards. You got to get up and play again. That next play, a lot of times teams will go right after that guy again because they know that that's bothering him, and his mind is a little fogged. So you go right back at the guy.
So. And the really good ones say you have to have the ability, you know, to shake it off.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times coaches will tell you, win or lose, okay? Win or lose on Sunday, when you come to work on Monday, or is it Tuesday? Short memory. You can't dwell on the good win or the bad loss. You got to start preparing.
They call the 24-hour rule.
Yeah.
You know, 24 hours, it's done. The game's over. You can't do anything. Just learn from your mistakes and now start prepare for the next game.
I've always felt this about punters and kickers, though, and I don't think that there is any sport whatsoever. I don't think there's any sport that's more team-oriented than football.
No, I mean,
the 11 guys, they all have to be on the same page, handling each other very well. Having said that, though, I always felt that the field goal kicker and the punter...
They're on the island, their own.
They are... It's like boxers. I always say that, whether you like the fight game or not, it's two guys... And if I'm in trouble, I ain't looking behind me. I got nobody. My corner men, they're not coming in. It's them alone. And that's where I see that mindset, as you're saying, really takes over. And you have to be strong enough.
And, from a punting perspective, field goal kicking, I think, is the field goal kicker also kicks off. So, you got to have a good coverage team that goes down their cover. Punting is, those 10 other guys, they can help me out a lot. You know, if I put the ball where I need to put him, I'm basically relying on those guys, number one, to protect me so that I can get the punt off,
right?
Something the Giants didn't do a couple weeks ago. And then second of all, I'm relying on those two gunners to get down there and make plays for me, if it wasn't for those guys, I wouldn't have gone to a couple Pro Bowls that I went to, because I had really good gunners that would run down the field and tackle.
All right, let's grab a phone call. 201-939-4513 is the number. Jason in Maine. Jason, you're on with Russ and Jeff.
Well, Jason, we probably just answered all your questions from our producer who told us, Jeff wants to think about special teams.
You there, Jeff?
Yeah, that pretty much answered, yeah.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you this.
Let me just ask you something else then. How about that?
Yeah, well, you know what? I will give you – I think the special teams this year for the Giants has been pretty bad. I think that it's been inconsistent both from the kicking and the punting position. I think the coverage teams – and I tell you why. It's special teams take a lick when the other team – the roster starts to get depleted. So when some of your second and third team guys are your core special teams guys and now they're moving into those starting positions because of injuries – you are now forced to start younger guys on special teams that basically are off the street. And this is when special teams coaches, they cringe, because now they're looking at a roster with guys that don't know how to play special teams. They're like practice squad guys. They're there for a reason. And that's what happens on special teams. You start to get sloppy play, sloppy blocking. You get penalties because these guys aren't used to playing. And that's kind of why the special teams has been the way it's been the second half of the season.
Okay, let me just ask you this. Who's the captain on the field when the special teams are out there?
Well, Zach Diossi is the special teams captain.
Okay.
But he's only on the field for the punt and the extra points. But I know that Zach does a lot of stuff off the field, you know, on the sidelines, trying to get some guys going and things like that, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, yeah. Well, let me just end with this, and I'll just get off the air. Just having fun, looking forward to, you know, different things. Just want your guys' opinion on this. Let's just say we end up with the second pick in the draft.
Okay.
Let's say all the quarterbacks that are available are going to come out, because I know we don't know that for sure. Which direction would you guys go? Would you keep Eli and keep Webb, and would you trade up for more picks, or would you more look for a quarterback? And I'll leave with that. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Okay, well, thank you, Jason. All right, I'll give you – well, you told me what
you
think.
Yeah, I have a philosophy on this, or I don't know if it's a philosophy, just my thoughts, is that I believe that Eli Manning can still play at a high level.
Me too.
Okay, I do not think that Eli Manning – I think that he is on the back nine, if you want to get into golf terms, okay? But I think that he can be a manageable quarterback. There's a lot of factors here. You got to understand that where the salary cap position is going into next year at Eli at $22 million. You got to understand where Davis Webb is going to fit in the plans of the next GM, okay? From the draft perspective, I don't think you can miss on drafting a quarterback. You got to go you're very rarely in this position. You hope you're never in this position to draft number two or three. You got to go get a quarterback because of the age of Eli Manning. There's no reason why Eli can still play another season and then bring in the other guy later on. That's my thing, but I don't know what the GM – this is all about the GM, what the GM's going to do. I believe that there's going to be a meeting with Eli when all of this gets put together, and they're going to talk about it. But there's going to be – it's going to be either yay or nay, obviously.
Well, then let me ask you this. You bring up an interesting thing. If you want to go and get the quarterback, are you doing that because you believe that Davis Webb is not the guy?
Listen, you got to have two quarterbacks no matter what. And if you're sitting there and you think that Davis Webb is one of your guys, you have him compete in 2018.
I understand that, but the reason I'm saying that, because if you believe, though, in your heart that Davis Webb can be the guy, do you trade that pick and maybe get two linemen early on in those rounds with maybe a six pick or, you know, a number – the six overall.
And I haven't seen enough of David Webb. I don't think the GM that's going to come here is going to say – I think he's going to say the same thing. I just think that in their evaluation, the quarterbacks that are available in this draft, I think you take one. You go and get one, and then you have three quarterbacks. If it includes Eli, Eli plays for one more year. You got another guy that you're just drafting. He's the heir apparent. We know that. And then you also have a discussion with Eli saying, listen – it's all chips are on the table right now. Going into next year, you're our guy. There's going to be competition every week at practice, and he'll be fine with that. But at some point in time, we've got these guys behind you. Okay, so understand that at any time we can make a move. Okay, Eli may say that's okay. I'll compete. I know that I'm going to play every game. It's going to be well. We're gonna build our line around me and around the future of these guys. That's fine. Or they may say, Eli might say, I'm not signing up for that. I'd like to be traded. I want to go to another team. There's so many different ways to go here. But you go after that quarterback at number two. That Eli Manning is here or not, you're going to go get your quarterback for the future.
Yeah, and going one step further with you, I believe Eli has his druthers, he wants to be here.
Sure.
And I believe he would accept that scenario, understanding. I think
– but you have to have the discussion with him about it.
We know it was fumbled during the season, and I think if all parties concerned, the Giants and Eli, if they all could do it over again, they would all handle it a bit different. In hindsight, but hindsight is 2020. Anyway, folks, that is a wrap on today for Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. The number, as always, remains 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag GiantsChat. For Jeff Eagles, I'm Russ Salzberg. Have yourselves a great new year, and I'll be talking to you next week.